Jay, are you still there? Welcome back, brothers and sisters. I hope I'm back online. I had a power surge. I hope I'm able to go ahead and continue the program. Jay, if you're out there, please give me a call back. Had a power surge, and it's happened here where I live here in this area of Atlanta. My electricity has gone out a few times, but it's unfortunate. And so I'm hoping that you're hearing the broadcast, and give me a call back. Let me know that that's the case, or somebody text me to let me know that I'm being heard. So See, really today I was going to talk about the fallacy of the religions that, unfortunately, that we have embraced, or no, that have been imposed upon us, let me say it that way, that have been imposed upon us. And so I'm hoping that can be heard. And if I can't, well, you have a good weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Somebody give me a call. Let me know I'm being on the air. Otherwise, I'll shut it down. It's no problem. Okay, I just got word that I am back on. I can be heard, so we'll continue with the discussion of today. I was talking about the NC2A and March Madness, and I'll probably talk about that again on Monday since it'll be the championship day. And just once again, as a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the unpaid labor of black people. And that's what it is. That's why somebody was contributing the NC2A and other things as if it is enslavement. Now, granted, I don't make that comparison, but let me just say it this way. You know, it's serious usury. You have these young men who have all these ambitions. And everybody who plays sports at that level, let's be real, they think they're going to be the one. I understand the necessity to get that education. So if you're not the one, you have something. That's why I maintain, let them work for the university in that capacity as an athlete. And then once they're done with their athletics, then you give them a free ride. And I mean an advanced degree, because they've earned millions of dollars for the university. Today is Good Friday. And of course, today was the day that supposedly Jesus was crucified. He was crucified. And 3 days later, he rose. And it is commemorated by the Christians. It is part of the religious celebration of the Hebrews or the Jews or even the European Jews of the Passover. Of course, the Passover deals with the Hebrews being in captivity, being enforced labor to the Kemetic people, to the Egyptians. You know, tomorrow, as every year around this time, ABC, whatever station it is in your location, for ABC tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific Time, they're going to have the Ten Commandments movie on. The one with Charlton Heston as Moses and Yul Brynner has Ramesses, Claudette Colbert, I believe, Ann Baxter, and what's her name who played Lillian on The Munsters? Yvonne DiCarlo. She plays Moses. I've seen this movie tons of time, and I'll probably look at it again. Of course, it's been digitized. But when I saw it as a kid, it was in Technicolor and CinemaScope and all that old kind of stuff. And it's so long. It's over 3 hours long. And, of course, they have a intermission. At the time, they had an intermission where you can go out and refresh yourself and come back, you know. And it's a story that historically is not true. It's a story like all the other stories in Judeo-Christian theology, even though it's mythological. And the problem, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I've said this numerous times, the reason why I rail against it is because what it has done to African people. We have a serious problem of developing some functional unity when we have these theologies that we have embraced. That's why, once again, I go to the wisdom of El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. He said, when I come out here into the community, I come out here to do the business of what we can do about this cracker who's on this Yahudi, this Urugu, on us. I don't come here to impose my religious beliefs. My religion is Islam. Yours might be Christianity. You might be a Seventh-day Adventist. Hell, you might be a Scientologist. But when we come here, keep that in your back pocket. Keep that in your closet, because we're coming out here to come together to see what we're going to do about what is happening to us as African people, as Black people here in this country and in this world. You see? And the problem, of course, is that the religions that have been imposed upon us, many people feel that's more important than anything, especially Christianity, because of how dogmatic Christianity is. You see people now talking about, well, how you doing? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored because they believe in Jesus and they are Christian. So they're blessed. The problem I have with Christianity, well, I have multiple problems, but one of them is that it speaks to people individually. Your personal savior. That's why for us as African people, it will never work. Christianity's not working on the continent. It's not working anywhere for African people. Number one, it's not real. And so if you're saying I'm blessed and highly favored, but your family is going to hell, your brother who you see every day, who you walk over every day because you feel he's not saved. He doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't know Jesus. So you condemn them. You see? So the dogmatism of Christianity, I have a problem with. And the fact that it has been posed upon us in a way that, of course, prevents us from unifying, prevents us to agreeing what we must do as a people. You're more concerned about your so-called afterlife, which, of course, nobody can claim. Even the people who say they had a near-death experience, you know. Oh, I got my man Jay back. Welcome back, Jay.
Hey, Brother Oki, what happened? We were spitting so much truth that the Yoruba had to kick us off. You can't be doing that, brother. You know what I mean? I was ready. You know, this goddaddy took the boat down on you.
I know, man. I know, man. I tell you. Especially,
hey,
I guess.
Hey, listen, it's better to happen that way than to go out as a punk.
That's right.
As far as I'm concerned. But I see you done jumped in. You done jumped in to talking about Sky Daddyism. I yep. See. Hey, listen, you know, I look at it this way. I've never heard anybody that has come back on the planet and has told the world or the people that there's a heaven or a hell.
Right.
Ain't nobody never done that. Ain't nobody said the Sky Daddy was a Urugu. And ain't nobody said that the devil is red.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The reality is religion is nothing more than the control mechanism.
Exactly. Well,
you could use a book to justify your oppression and brutalization of a people, I want no parts of it. I remember my grandmother used to get mad at me all the time when I would ask her that. Where was Jesus and God when your great-great-grandmother was being raped? Oh, man, I ain't even gonna lie. I got to admit it on the air. She smacked the holy crap out of me when I said that to her. I was 15 years old, and that was the first, the last, and only time that blessed woman ever put her hands on me. When I asked her that question, Osi, let me tell you something. Before I could get the final word out of my mouth, pow! You know how you ever get hit by somebody and they absolutely, it shocked you?
Right, you're stunned.
Let me tell you something.
Right, you were stunned.
My grandmother was the most beautifulest woman in the world, just like everybody said about their grandmother. And I've always come to the conclusion that the only reason she was as nice as she was, because she was old and she had already raised her kids, and now it was time for her to spoil her, just like we do with all our grandkids. That's the bottom line. But let me tell you, Osi, the woman smacked me, man, and I was in such utter shock because she never put a hand on me. Man, that woman told me, sit down and shut up. And I sat there, Osi, and shut up. And that woman gave me a lecture for 15 minutes. And let me tell you something, brother. I did not open up my mouth one iota.
Wow, Jay. I can't believe it, Jay.
And let me tell you something. From that point on, whenever my grandmother started talking about the word, I had two options. To sit there, shut up, and say nothing, or smoothly get up and walk away. And the only time I would ever smoothly get up and walk away was when she was speaking with someone else. But if she was talking to me, I just sat there and absolutely said nothing and made her think I was listening to what she was saying. But I know it was BS from the beginning. But I tell you one thing, every woman that I've tried to find in my life, she's been one of the examples that what I look for, and she was honestly one of only three women in this world that I honestly have met, Osi, that walked that walk and talked that talk with that book. I done met a lot of so-called Christian women who talk that talk but don't walk that walk.
Right.
There's only been three women in my life who I know of that have walked that walk and talked that talk and lived that life. And she was one of them.
I say.
And two others. The other one was one who showed me the example of what a mother is to her children. Because I tell you quickly, Osi, when the beloved Mrs. Myers, who's been dead for over 40-some years, Osi, when she died, her daughter's lives totally changed. From being on the path to being doctors and lawyers or anything that they wanted to be, to just becoming good women with regular jobs.
Okay.
Because once their mother passed, they didn't have the type of guidance
right
necessary to take them into womanhood. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about African womanhood. There's a difference. But I'm talking about womanhood, to be able to do the necessary things. One became gay. The other one had a whole bunch of kids. The other one just became a common worker who had one kid, got married, and all of that. But the thing is, and I noticed as a young child, O.C., when she died, and I saw it as time has gotten to this point, if that woman would have had another 4 or 5 years on this earth, her daughters would have been totally different.
I can believe that.
That was a lesson.
Right.
That was a lesson. Let me tell you something. That followed me in understanding of what womanhood and motherhood was from an 8-year-old. Because I saw what happened to them. I knew who they was. I understood the dynamic of a mother at that point in time. And to this day, I see it in an example of what is happening with our children. That's why we're having so many problems with our children today, because mothers and grandmothers are too damn young to instill any type of common sense and intelligence into most of these kids. How could you be a grandmother at 35 years old or younger and be able, honestly, to instill certain things within that child, not also the child, but the grandchild? That's one of the biggest problems that has attacked and faced our community.
Sure, no doubt.
And it's something that we need to finally address. Because listen, there are classes of what we are as a people. There is the Negro King, the African, and then I could use the other N-word, and then there's another one I could use. There's really 5 classes within our development in this society. And unfortunately, we got too many N's, too many Negroes, and too many Negro Kings, and very few Africans to move us forward. But look, I got to run, but I got to listen to the show. So
right.
You put me on mute, well, and I may call back in.
All right.
Better stop dropping too many jewels, or they're going to drop you off again, man. Stay out of trouble.
Okay, Jay.
Have a good one, brother. Peace.
Peace. Yeah. That's not the first time it's happened to me. It's happened to me a couple of times before, but hey, it is what it is. So, hey, if we can get back on, we'll do so. And if we get dropped, hey, because to me, I will never stop doing what I'm doing. I'm committed. I made a commitment to making this happen. And so, therefore, I'm going to continue to do so. And understand this, brothers and sisters. And I understand clearly what Jay was saying. But that woman could have done that as a Muslim. She could have done that in any other theology, or she could have done that without theology. It was the woman herself, the kind of mother she was. You see, she could have been an agnostic. Hell, she could have been an atheist and still demanded of her children to push them and to motivate and inspire them to be better and to do better, you know. Because, see, to me, I understand that there's been some people who have embraced Christianity and who live by those tenets and so forth and were good people. My brother, who is a minister, he's a Baptist minister. He used to be in the Church of God in Christ. But, of course, you know, you can't be doing certain things in the Church of God in Christ. They frown deeply upon that. But also the Church of God in Christ, you know, are just like the evangelicals and so forth, strict adherences, you know, to the doctrines, to the dogma, and of course sometimes that's problematic, you know. But the bottom line is religion, the practice of training your mind to ignore evidence, logic, and reason, while being able to believe in fairy tales based on faith alone, and being proud of it rather than ashamed. Like I said, they rather believe and it not be true. No, excuse me. They rather believe. Let me get the correct statement. They rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because the adherences to the theology, Christianity particularly, is fear. You don't want to burn in hell. You see? And so that fear alone, that's why people will say, because I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that Jesus died, which would have been today, although that's kind of ironic because, you know, this only happened 2,000 years ago. They've been recording history. They've been recording people who have died for thousands of years prior. They have all of the 30 dynasties of ancient Kemet. They have their temples, their tombs. There's written texts. There's information. But yet there's no information of the Christian entities. There's no information on the Christian entities, the disciples, the apostles. There's no information on the Old Testament individuals, Moses, Joshua. In fact, the names itself, I know they're English because of the translations. I understand that. But of course, many people don't understand that. They believe that those are the names. Daniel and, you know, Timothy and Thomas. They believe that those are the names for some people who lived in the Old Testament reference thousands of years ago in that region. Because one of the things I think that Christianity particularly does, it dumbs you down. It has to, because they don't want you to think. They don't want you to be enlightened. They don't want you to step outside of those boundaries that they've imposed by that religion. That's why, brothers and sisters, please understand. To me, this is doing more disrespect to us than I am doing challenging this. This is doing more disrespect. Because Stevie Wonder said it best. That great visionary, Stevie Wonder, he said, when you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer superstition. And this is myth. This is myth presented as fact. Ancient Kemet, they knew it was mythology. They knew it. They didn't say that these human formed with animal heads were fact. They knew it. They looked at the deities. They looked at, in the study, everything in ancient Kemetic society was born. It is the height. It is truly the height of human existence was ancient Kemet. Of the known world at that time, and how it was developed. It was developed out of study. They studied everything. They studied the stars. They studied land. They studied animals. They knew when the river was going to inundate, when the river was going to flood. And they knew when the river was going to recede. When the river flooded, that's when they got together and went south to the mines and to the mountains and carved out stone. And dragged those stones to the river and put them on a barge and sailed them northward, which was up but down river, to place them to make pyramids. Pyramid building was done in the Sudan, what is now called the Sudan, in Nubia, long before it was done in Egypt or in Kemet. It was just perfected there. It was just made massive and monumental. They knew when the river was going to recede, because when the river recedes, they have to begin the agricultural piece. Because why? Even at that time, 4,000-5,000 years ago in Kemet, they lived on a desert. Now, it is believed, looking at Hori Makhet, or what the Greeks call the Sphinx, they said that looking at the lower layers where the feet and the body of the lion, looking at the lower layers, they can see. They said that at that time, possibly, that's why they think that that structure is 10,000 years old. 10,000. That at that time, that area was wet. That area had marsh. That area had more palm trees, more vegetation, and so forth. That is believed. But the bottom line is that they understood that. They understood the see, everything being born out of study, because they studied the stars and the animals and so forth, that generated the religion. Science generated the religion. It was all inclusive. It wasn't separate. It was all inclusive. And they looked at how the animals behaved, and those within those personifications, they came up with, like, the ibis bird, who looks very intelligent. That is Yehudi. The Greeks call them Toth. But Yehudi is the god of articulation and speech. But even at that, the main god, Amun-Ra, Amun, the unseen, the hidden, Ra, rays of the sun, they understood the importance of the sun. In fact, once again, I said this before, if I would worship and celebrate anything, it would be the sun. Because without the sun, this planet doesn't happen. Nothing happens without the sun. Well, sun worship. And then it got on me because I do libations and honoring and revering, respecting ancestors. Well, that's ancestor worship. That's demon worship. No. They understood the importance of the ancestors reflecting upon them and guiding them based upon what the ancestors had done. They continue to develop. I'm not saying that we need to look at or worship as the ancient Kemetics do. I know there's the Kemetic Institute. I know there's some brothers and sisters who do. I don't care if you worship a damn rock. My concern is that African people come together so we can determine for ourselves the direction of our lives on the continent and throughout the diaspora. That's my concern. And one thing I know, the theologies that have been imposed upon us prevents us from doing that. That's the problem I have, brothers and sisters. And the reason I rail against Christianity, because it states that it is historical. Because there is no more important day in Christianity than what is happening, that is supposedly what had happened today, and then what's going to happen Sunday. It is the very foundation of the faith of Christianity is what is happening today, what is supposed to have happened today, and what happens on Sunday. Because without that, and without it, by their understanding, being historical, then everything else is a lie. They have to believe that today, Friday, that I guess, I don't know when the Last Supper was, might have been Wednesday, might have been Thursday, but even at that, when you count the days, I mean, there's so much, you know, that even a non-lawyer like person could blow holes in this situation, because all of the massive contradictions and all of the things that just don't fit, you know. But for me, you know, picking out all of these contradictions, all of these fallacies and all of these untruths, you know, I mean, I could go on. But the reason I do it is not to challenge your faith. If that's what you want to believe, brothers and sisters, believe. I would say to you, please don't impose. That's like for me, you know, when I talk about Pan-Africanism, I look at Pan-Africanism in a state that there is no particular theology. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. The only thing that we believe in is the independence, the self-determination, the liberation, and the sovereignty for African people. There is no planks in that, no Christian plank, Muslim plank, other religious plank. There's no sexual plank. There's no homosexual plank. There's none of that. I don't give a damn if you're a lesbian or if you're a homosexual, transsexual, or whatever. If you are a Pan-Africanist and you believe in liberation and sovereignty for African people and you work towards that, then you cool. That's what it means. But if you want, but if you want to say that you're being discriminated because you were a homo, no, that's not here. That's not this. Because when you come into that mindset, you are working for that and that alone. Because you are discriminated in this society because of your homosexual, you deal with that. It's just like in the Black Panther movie. They said, well, you know, there was no homosexual situations. And although in the comics, in the Marvel comics, which is the movie is based on, although the movie itself was not, that was written by Coogler independent of Marvel Comics, but approved, independent of, but approved by Marvel Comics and Disney Studios. But he didn't put that in there. And there were some folks who were, you know, of that community who were upset by that. Let me say this. In African society, homosexuality is not an issue. It is today. It is today. But in ancient African society, there are no reliefs on the wall. Now, there are eunuchs, men who've been castrated. And that has happened from biblical times up until this time. Men have been, I mean, hell, they were selling brothers who Arabs had castrated in Libya, selling them as captives, saying, we have some eunuchs. So maybe some people in Qatar and Kuwait and United Arab Emirates will want a captive person to be enslaved who will not try to mess with the women. I don't know. More than likely. But you see, that's what I'm talking about here today. I know you want to believe, and I know you want it to be historical. I'd rather for you just to believe and that be your faith. But the problem is Christianity and Islam are the two main proselytizing religions. They seek converts. And because of converts, those religions become wealthy. Christianity more so than Islam. But even Islam. But Christianity, I mean, the wealth of Christianity is ridiculous. And of course, within Christianity, particularly in Catholicism, you had men who said they had a calling from God. But their main focus was young boys. So they could have liaisons with young boys. Some of these men have messed with young boys to the hundreds. And, of course, the church moved them from here to there. The church, I don't think, has openly and honestly dealt with it, number one, because they put some stuff in there where they can't be prosecuted after a certain length of time. I don't know. You know, once again, brothers and sisters, my whole purpose is to say that we deal with a theology that is supposed to be historical, but that it is not. And if you want to continue to believe it, that's fine. Go ahead. But nothing should be more important than African unity. Especially in this day and age when you see the amount of Caucasians who are coming together, when you see the amount of Asians who are coming together, what's happening in Asia? If you look at a hierarchy in the South, in the Asian area of the world, probably and if it's a hierarchy, I would say that the Japanese are at the top. Probably the Koreans, you know, Taiwanese, but probably, and of course at the bottom is the Philippines and Cambodians and so forth. But the Chinese are the biggest influencer. You talking about if that whole group came together like they're meeting right now, the North Korean has met with China. The North Korea will meet with South Korea. The Koreans will meet with the Japanese and then the Taiwanese, and they'll settle all these differences to be a huge block power. I have no problem with them doing whatever they're doing. I have a problem with exploiting, particularly Africa and Africans. I have a problem with anybody exploiting Africa and Africans. But the Africans said, we're going to have a free trade throughout the continent. They're making the kind of steps that I love to see made, because I believe that a solid African continent will help Africans throughout the diaspora. A solid African continent in control of Africa by Africans will help American Africans, will help Caribbean Africans, Brazilian, South American, Central American Africans, Africans in Europe, and so forth. Because as Malcolm said, as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz says, that the Africans on this planet will never be respected until Africa is in control by Africans. And that is not the way it is. With all of the neocolonialism, all the other despots who are controlled by outside interests, the things that are happening to African countries because of China and because of Europe. Europe still has a hand in it. I just saw the other day saying that the UK, Australia, United States are going to impose sanctions on South Africa if they go ahead and take the land back that was stolen from them without compensating the Caucasians who stole it. I think it's, if we don't understand the double standards and the contradictions in this world by now, really we never will. They're massive and they're continuous. If we don't understand it, we never will. There is no doubt in my mind, I don't know about your mind, had something like that had happened to some Caucasians, how they would rally to make, you know, those who had done it punished. And there's nowhere on this earth that we as African people can go and take somebody's stuff and claim it as our own. Nowhere. But see, one of the things, what helped Europeans do that? Exactly, Christianity. That's what helped Europeans do it, Christianity. They came with a religion tied to themselves, with imagery tied to themselves. That's why in Islam, I would give Islam much love and respect for the fact that he said that we do not have any images of anyone within the deity. No images of Prophet Muhammad. No images of Allah. No images. It is a spirit, and it's supposed to be a good spirit. But in Christianity, we have so much that is so muddled. We have so much where in Christianity, it sanctions enslavement. It sanctions murder. It sanctions death. You have a God that is so revengeful and so jealous and so revengeful that if you do anything outside of whatever the laws that it said it has, that you know, in fact, as we know, the Ten Commandments, if you watch it tomorrow, or if you watch the new version, the one that came out a few years ago with Christian Bale as Moses, And I can't remember I think he's supposed to be an Arab or something like that, playing Ramesses, but he looks Caucasian, you know. And of course, instead of the burning bush, although they did have a piece of a burning bush in the new Moses movie. I can't remember what the name of it is, but that's the one where he's talking to a little young child, really, talking to a young boy. Has God, I guess, or a spirit of God. You know. But one thing about that version, as opposed to the older version that you can see tomorrow night on ABC at 7 o'clock, is that they don't show you the devastation of the plagues. You know, the newer version, they got folks with boils on and all kinds of scars and all kinds of stuff. The seven plagues. My brother, who I consider a theologian, who knows the Bible back and forth, he told me, he says, the reason why you don't find that in ancient Kemetic texts is because the Pharaoh was so embarrassed by what had happened that they struck it out. They chiseled it out, or they didn't write they didn't make any medunetra or what they call hieroglyphs on papyri or anything. They just dismissed that. I'm gonna be honest with you. If something that deep happened, believe me, it would have been wrote about. It would have been noted. If the firstborn dead of the house of Pharaoh in ancient Kemet would have been dying, that would have been known. If plagues and boils and locusts and all these other things were happening, if the Red Sea was parted and all of the Egyptians were killed with the exception of the Pharaoh, so the Pharaoh could go back and be further tormented. And then even when you listen or when you read it, what does it say? God hardened Pharaoh's heart to bring these plagues upon Egypt. Well, damn, why didn't God enlighten Pharaoh? Why didn't God come to him and say, listen, all the stuff that y'all believe, but I'm the real one and true God, and I'm telling you these people are right in here, and I'm going to say to you, whatever. God did it. It's just like coming out of the Old Testament story of the story of Noah. And of course, Noah's three sons, Ham. Ham's son is Canaan. And the land of Canaan, ironically, is where Israel is today. But who is Canaan? Who is Ham? They were black. In fact, they were supposed to have been cursed. By even reading the European Jewish Talmud, they were supposed to be cursed to be black and to be servants unto their brother. Well, of course, one of the descendants of Canaan is Nimrod. And Nimrod builds a tower. And then shoots an arrow at the top of the tower into the sky. And God now is upset and mad. And so he strikes them down and then confounds their tongue. Oh, really? Probably the most important thing that we can do as human beings is communicate. But now you, God, you strike them down and confound their tongue where they can't communicate. That's mischief. I mean, that makes this God a God of mischief, of God of dissent. This ain't supposed to be the so-called God that you're supposed to bring people together. And that's what this Christianity thing is supposed to be about, because they say it is universal. Everybody on the planet, if you want to be saved, you must be Christian. God loves the whole planet. But to me, if you wanted people to embrace what you have, I don't think to do that under the threat of death or intimidation or imposing it upon them in such a way that would make them feel inferior or put fear into them is the way. But that's what has been done. So, understanding why I'm coming from this position. I'm coming from this position because it is not historical. Nothing that happened in that book, and I know it's supposed to be the infallible word of God, that was that God inspired men to write, that God chose to say once again that sin is running, like he did in the Old Testament, that sin runs rampant on the planet. Well, I mean, if you God and you're supposed to be all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent, all of that old kind of stuff, then you know what's going to happen. That's why in ancient, or that's why in African spirituality, there is no devil. There is no devil. There isn't some kind of, I mean, there are conflicts with human beings, but it is settled through the theology. But in Christianity, there's a either this or that. Either you believe and you get saved, or you don't believe and you burn in hell. What is it? What are you going to do? Well, if you put it in that kind of context, you know? And so here you have, at a time, in ancient times, when all these things are supposed to have happened, no record. There is no record. There are theologies that are so similar to these stories, but the other people who had these stories understood that these were moral, righteous stories. They weren't historical. They didn't purport themselves to be historical. And if they did, where's the proof? What substantiates what you're saying? Now, you know, the power went out. You could argue about that. That's some kind of sign right there. I could go out and get into an accident. And here's a good one. Here's a good one. Because of this time, watching ESPN, Frank Martin, who coaches South Carolina now, used to coach Kent State, used to be assistant coach. I think with Roy Williams, I can't remember one of the noted coaches, one of those coaches who making millions. And I'm quite sure Frank Martin is doing pretty well himself. But he got sick. He was not in his hometown because his wife, he married a sister. And she was saying that she came to be by his side. And so did his brother, because he was became very ill. And as he became more ill, in his room, a woman came into his room. They said it was an Indian woman, not indigenous, but from India. Indian woman, that's what they said. And she told his brother and his wife and others, let's pray. We're going to pray. And supposedly, well, obviously the fact, not supposedly, the fact, he got better. And then they asked about the woman, and nobody knew this woman. Nobody knew that there was a woman of that description who was employed by that hospital, saying that she was a nurse. Nobody. But it was not the only time that has happened. But his brother, his wife, and others said that this woman appeared to them. Now understand this, brothers and sisters. I believe in miracles. Just as Brother Jay mentioned about the grandmother who would have raised her three daughters. She could have raised her three daughters as a Christian. a Muslim, a Seventh-day Adventist, whatever. She could have raised them as an agnostic. She could have raised them to be good women as an atheist. I used to say to my brother, I said, hey, here's a man who doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. But yet, he is a good husband to his wife. He's never cheated on her. He is a good father to his children. He supports them. He's there for them. He is a good neighbor. He never covets anybody's stuff. He is a good employee. He's honest. He's respectful. He is a good man. But he don't believe in Jesus. He don't believe in God. He just believes that human beings have the ability to go beyond all of this ridiculousness and be the best kind of man that they can be. It's almost like in ancient Kemet, when you died and you go and you want to go into the afterlife and you say the 42 declarations, which the 10 commandments were taken from. And Ma'at, the god of the wing god, the female god, leads you in, and then Jehudi is recording it, and you say the 42 declarations. Your heart is being weighed by the feather of Ma'at, and you must maintain balance. And you say the declarations, I have not stolen, I have not lied, I have not this, I have not, 42 times, and if you remain balanced, then you go sit in judgment, you go stand in judgment of Osir. But of course, if your heart becomes hairier than the feather, then you are eaten by the beast of unjust souls. Or like going to hell. Because that's where they had that concept in ancient Kemet. But that wasn't a focus. The focus was on being right and being righteous and doing what's right. See, the reason why that didn't happen in Kemet, because we didn't take people out as slaves to build pyramids and to build tombs. We didn't go out and bring people back to be enslavement. It has been proven that the things that were built and made were made by the people themselves out of honor and respect for their pharaohs and to the gods. It was proven that even at the Giza Plateau, where the big pyramids are made, the pyramid for Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure, and smaller pyramids for their significant spouses and so forth, were made by men over a 70-something year period. Not by people suffering the sting of the lash. It was done out of honor and respect for the pharaohs or the gods or the kings or queens. It wasn't done because of enslavement. But of course, they want that story to continue. And then, of course, the other fallacy is that the European Jews who occupy Palestine, or what is called Israel now, are not the people of that time if it did happen. If it did happen, they are not that people, but they celebrate it. They do the Seder, the big dinner, all the lemon bread, all the stuff. Because they converted to Judaism about 1,000 years ago. They had the choice. Either you want to convert to Christianity or convert to Islam. He said, we're going to do neither. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do this Jewish thing. Sometimes it's hard to look at theology, particularly the ones that have most noted and most publicized, to look at them outside of what they profess to be. Well, number one, you're told not to think critically about them. You're told not to use rationalizations. You're told not to go beyond what is being stated. Because you know what is being stated, it's hard for you to believe that it would happen realistically. All the way from this very beginning. All the way from the Adam and Eve story, the Noah story, all of these stories, all of these fables, all of these fairy tales. But to the Christian particularly, I rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because of the fear I have within me, because of the fear that has been put in me by the religion to never step outside of it, to think for myself or to think independently. And then you wonder, why would a people who have done what they have done to us, everything they've done to us has not been good, then why would they give us a good religion? And then, of course, when you see contained in a religion all the things that it says that a captive should do, obey. And of course, with the English language and contained in the Bible, they use the word slave. They use the words a slave should obey their masters. Some of it says, obey your masters, even when your master's not looking. Do the right thing. Don't revolt against them. They also have some rules, too, for the master to obey so they don't be so damn punitive on the captives. I'm saying all of this to say, brothers and sisters, this has been one of the greatest impediments for us as African people not coming together because it's extremely difficult. I know these are your beliefs. These are the things that you worship. These are the things that you believe. These are the things that you've been taught to believe. And the fear has been put into you that if there'll be consequences and repercussions for not believing. But the reality is that these are the impediments that prevent us from coming together and controlling our lives here on earth. My friend Jay said earlier before he went off, he said, nobody has come back to say, this is what heaven is like. Nobody has come back to say, this is what hell is like. For us, giving us that story, many of us believe that we're going to get heaven because it has sure in the hell been hell on earth for us. So we will truly, when we die, we got to be going to heaven. Is it the same heaven that Caucasians are going to? Is it that when they die and we die, we're going to the same place? Is the situation going to be the same? Are we going to continue to be in servitude to them, even in death? Is that what's going to happen? All religions, all the theologies, human beings made them. Human beings crafted them. Human beings wrote the information about them. Human beings did all of this. You can argue that they were inspired by God. You can argue that. The reality is, nobody knows, do they? Nobody knows. But once again, religion, the practice of training your mind to ignore evidence, logic, and reason while being able to believe in fairy tales based on faith alone and being proud of it rather than ashamed. Nothing to substantiate this. I would have rather Christianity had said, this is a belief system, and these are the things that you must do to believe in this system. It is not historical. It is a belief system that will empower you, that will make you feel good about who you are, that will make you challenge yourself to be the best person you can be. This system will also make you respect and love others. This system, if you believe in it so strong, will help you to keep your family together, will help you to clean up your community, will help to keep you from vice. This system is so foolproof once you believe in it. It is not historical. It is a belief system. And that you will have knowledge, that you will have wisdom, that you will have a vision and clarity, that you will hate wrongdoing and you will hate suffering. You will hate disease. You will hate poverty. You will hate homelessness. Christianity is throughout, particularly the southern part, the so-called sub-Saharan Africa. Christianity is down. In fact, even in Islamic countries like Nigeria, a lot of the top 10 Christian ministers, top 10 money-earning, the top 10 money-earning Christian ministers. Creflo Dollar ain't in the top 10. And he just, his folks just bought him a $65 million jet. T.D. Jakes at the Potter House down in, well, I think Dallas or Houston, wherever he is, he's not in the top 10. But they got three Nigerian ministers who are in the top 10. Who make millions, tens of millions of dollars, if not more, making people believe that they will be saved by believing in it, but more importantly, giving to it. You think God needs money? The rationale of the ministers, I got to have this jet. I remember listening to Copeland talking about, I can't be in first class. I can't be on a regular airlines. I can't do that. Not even in first class or business class. I just can't be. I got to have my own jet to minister, to go here and there when I need to, when I want to. In the millions of dollars, in the homes that they live in the homes that they have in other parts of the country or even parts of the world. Brothers and sisters, it's that time. Really appreciate it. I know I've said some things today that some of you truly may not agree with, and I understand that. My whole purpose, of course, is to help us understand why our situation is the way that it is. I'm not saying for you not to believe. Believe if that's what you want to do, but also believe in us. Believe in us as Africans. Believe in us as African people. Believe in us as African men and women to come together to do the things that are necessary for us to be a people again. We end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. Stephen Biko said, the most potent weapon in the hands of the European, the Caucasian, is the minds of the oppressed. This program is committed and dedicated to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people stands all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and don't want to pay for. But imagine if those resources were under our control. We would be players in the world instead of pawns. We have a lot of work to do if we're going to be a people into the future, or unless we're going to be a casualty by the dictates of those who are in control. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. You enjoy this weekend. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Peace, family.